You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio.
A little Freddie and Fitzsimmons in the morning. You got Ian Fitzsimmons over there, Freddie Coleman over here, together presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and also on ESPNU. We're going to get to all that reaction with the Dallas Cowboys acquiring Trey Lance. A man, the 49ers traded the Cowboys after trading 3 first-round picks to take him in a draft not too long ago. But real quick, we were talking about that new documentary that's on HBO Max called BSI about Bishop Sycamore and the charlatan of a head coach they had with Roy Johnson. Henry Stanford, Dr. Henry Stanford, Ian hit us on the X at Coleman ESPN and Ian Fitz ESPN saying, I've watched this documentary twice and my jaw dropped each time.
I'm in, man. I mean, that's happening today. I can't wait to watch this thing. Just hearing Alan Yates describe some of the stuff that was behind the scenes. We all knew it was an absolute travesty what was going on with these kids when they played IMG last year. But here's some of the details. I mean, I'm nauseatingly fascinated.
Yes,
to go and watch this absolutely damn thing.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes the Swamp Kings look like a reality show, a bad one, compared to what Bishop Sycamore High, BSI, is all about on HBO Max. Well, a lot of people had their jaws dropped when they found out that not only the San Francisco 49ers traded Trey Lance after demoting him to QB3 behind Sam Darnold and Brock Purdy, but that the Dallas Cowboys acquired him on Friday for a fourth-round pick in 2024. And that led Mr. Cowboy, I should say Mr. Anti-Cowboy, Stephen A. Smith from First Take, to react like this about that trade.
Oh, I see what you're trying to do, Dallas Cowboys. Trading for another quarterback. Could that be that you don't have that much faith in Dak Prescott? Could that be the reason? Could that be the reason? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm just asking. You got another quarterback. I wonder why. Did Cooper Rush go 5-1 as a starter for you last year? What you need another quarterback for? I'm just asking. I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know this. It ain't going to help you this year. See you soon. You hear?
That last part is pretty funny. I can't lie. See you soon. You hear?
I mean, they clearly think that he's better, I guess, than Will Greer. And they had a late first, early second round grade on Trey Lance. You give up a fourth rounder for him. They think it's value. You're not spending a lot on the guy. It's $940,000. That's what he's owed this year. You bring him in, you see how he is in the film room, you get to watch him in practice. Those are things that we were not privy to, obviously, when he was in San Fran. How was he on the board? How was he watching film? How was he in practice? We don't know all that. We just saw 8 games, an extraordinarily small sample size. So you bring him in, and you know that's the narrative right now. Well, they're trying to send a message to Dak. Look, at this level in professional sports, if you're having to sign a player to send a message to another player, especially at that position, you damn well better jettison the player you already have.
Right.
So all of that is nonsense. They believe they got value for a player that they might be able to either develop and move on for more equity, like Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame general manager for the Green Bay Packers, used to do year in and year out. I have zero problem with the Dallas Cowboys bringing in Trey Lance. And I commend the San Francisco 49ers for what they did and realizing, you know what? We were wrong. And you don't keep a mistake in the building. They moved him out. So, to me, I commend the Niners. And for the Cowboys, they believe they improved their roster. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. But you said something that really made me stand up when it comes to Dak Prescott. Because I want people to hear what Dak Prescott had to say. The minute that he found out the Dallas Cowboys acquired Trey Lance, and now he's part of that quarterback room with him and Cooper Rush.
I mean, I can't say that I necessarily expected it, no. I understand that it's business. I understand that they're probably on a timeline. They need to get something done. And as I said, he felt like that strengthened this team. To be honest with you, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. You've been in this league 8 years, been on this team. It's hard to say that I was surprised, to be honest with you.
Dak Prescott couched his words early because he was definitely thrown off by this. And we can get into the whole question. We'll do in a couple of minutes. Should the Dallas Cowboys have alerted him or told him about it before the trade was made? Because he found out, just like everybody else did, when Adam Schefter, the ESPN NFL reporter, put it out there that the Cowboys were acquiring Trey Lance. But I will say this about Dak Prescott, and something that you just said about being affected by having Trey Lance on your football team and sending a message. If you receive that message that way, then you're Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott. Because Carson Wentz received that message the same way based on what people think. What kind of message does this send to Dak Prescott? When they drafted Jalen Hurts, he felt some kind of way. And then he unraveled himself, and now where's Carson Wentz? Not an NFL team. Where's Jalen Hurts? An MVP candidate for the second straight year with the Philadelphia Eagles. You don't concern if somebody is going to take your spot. If you're a grown man enough to know, hey, come and take it if you think you can. I'm going to go out there and ball my you-know-what out, then you don't worry about such things. You don't worry about a team sending you a message because you can flip that message back on them. Oh, you thought you brought that guy here to challenge me? I'm going to send that guy off to another team my way by going out there and being the better quarterback like I know I'm going to be. If Dak Prescott receives that message and gets unnerved by it, gets the heebie-jeebies about it, then you know what? Maybe everybody was right about Dak Prescott not being quarterback enough to lead the Dallas Cowboys, which I don't believe is going to happen. But if he receives it that way, then we got a Carson Wentz situation part two in Dallas, like we saw in Philadelphia when they drafted Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, to your point, Freddie, and you're spot on, Dak can shut everybody up by going out and playing his tail off and make Trey Lance just a complete non-factor. And he heard a bit of this last year, you know, when Cooper Rush went 5-1, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people were going, well, maybe he should be the starter.
Yeah, I know.
Honey, hush.
Even Cooper Rush is like, yo, slow your roll.
Yeah, but this is one where Dak controls the entire narrative. He goes out and plays as well as I expect him to. Nobody's going to mention Trey Lance during the regular season.
Absolutely, and nor should they. And if you're Trey Lance, more than ever before, you got to really prove to people that you are worthy of that pick.
Yep.
That you are worthy of all the accolades that a lot of people talked about you at North Dakota State. Here's what I don't want for Trey Lance. I do not want him to be this part of Josh Rosen. When Josh Rosen came out of UCLA, people thought that guy was going to be the next great quarterback in the National Football League. He was drafted 10th overall, I believe, by the Arizona Cardinals. And then all of a sudden, they bring in a new head coach. They bring in a new system. Then he goes to Miami. Then he goes here. Then he goes there. And now I don't know where Josh Rosen is. When you're Trey Lance and somebody trades 3 first-round picks for you and then they give up on you, but you weren't playing well enough for them to justify why they should keep you, I'm hoping that Trey Lance does not become a Josh Rosen 2.0 because especially, you know it's going to happen. People are going to point to 49 and say, why'd you trade all those draft picks for that guy who couldn't play? At least Josh Rosen could play. He was just a victim of circumstance when they brought a new head coach. Trey Lance was a victim of the fact that he couldn't produce enough for the 49ers, and they saw a guy they drafted in the 7th round of Brock Purdy who said, that guy's producing better than the guy we brought in to be the next great quarterback for this team. I'm hoping that Trey Lance does not go down that cave where we never hear or see him again because he could not be good enough to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, and look, Brock Purdy took advantage of a situation that fell in his lap. Jimmy G gets hurt. Trey Lance gets hurt. Now all of a sudden, it's the very last pick, Mr. Irrelevant. It's his shot. He's the only dude on the roster, and he shined.
Yeah, absolutely.
The moment wasn't too big for him. As a matter of fact, he embraced it. I told you this on Friday, Freddie, when we were here together on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, and I'll say it again now. When we had them last year, late in the season, and I'm going, I can't wait to see the difference between Brock Purdy that we saw at Iowa State,
yeah,
who would throw that big pick late in a game against a top 10 team or a top 20 team, and you're looking at 20-17, and he has a chance to go and win a game, and it was almost like, it's like Tony Romo. Remember, you know, Washington, week 17, right? Mm-hmm. The flare out, you know, to the back, left flat, picked. Moments like that. That was Brock Purdy at Iowa State.
Right.
That is not the Brock Purdy with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. And I'm watching guys gravitate to him behind the bench. It was remarkable to watch. So this isn't about what Trey Lance didn't do. It's what Brock Purdy did do.
Absolutely.
And again, I commend the Niners for saying, this is our guy. Darnold beat out Trey Lance. We are moving on from a mistake. And you heard John Lynch say that very thing in their last preseason game over the weekend. Look, we feel we love Trey. It just didn't work, and we made a mistake. He admitted it. Now they've moved on. Now he's with the Dallas Cowboys, and Dak can now controls the narrative, just like Brock Purdy did in San Francisco.
By the way, the San Francisco 49ers told us all we needed to know about Brock Purdy and Trey Lance last year when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt against the Miami Dolphins and they bring Brock Purdy in. They didn't dial back the offense.
Nope.
Brock Purdy threw the ball 30 times in three quarters. They never did that with Trey Lance. It's as if they're trying to spoon feed him and hoping that, all right, I want a little bit more. You can give me more. You can give me more. You can give me more. They threw the whole menu at Brock Purdy. Oh, page one, page two, page three, page five. And he went out there and he was throwing that ball around the park. They win that football game against a pretty good Dolphins defense. When I saw that happen, I said, the 49ers have told us exactly how they feel about Brock Purdy because they didn't dumb it down. They said, give him everything. Give him more. He can handle it. And he wound up playing that well. Now, we'll see if he can do that because now people are game film on them. But Kyle Shanahan has shown if he's got a pretty good quarterback that can do some things. His game plan with that guy would be better than any game plan that you have against Brock Purdy in 2023.
Yeah, and so and going back to the Cowboys, again, this is not a message being sent to Dak. I can't emphasize that enough, because if that's what you have to do to motivate a man at this level, at that position, for that particular team, he shouldn't be on your team in the first place. This to me was Jerry Jones Grosso grabbing a headline, didn't cost him a lot, whether in draft equity or in salary. Again, Trey Lance is only owed $940,000 this year. That's it. You see what you have in him, you showcase him next year, and you might be able to ship him out for better equity, or you've added depth to your quarterback room.
Simple, to the point. But if Dak is feeling some
Kiss
sort of
method.
Way.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, but if Dak is feeling some sort of way, then maybe, just maybe, all those whispers about him may be true.
Should they have let him know? Should they have notified him beforehand, hey, we're trading for Trey Lance, just want to give you a
I think up. So.
I agree.
I mean, I know it's not 1955 where you can just rule law and order on players. Especially your quarterback, he knows that Trey Lance is drafted the third pick in the draft. That's when you look at him and say, hey, you know, they traded three picks for him.
Quick heads up. This is happening.
Quick heads up, yeah. They traded for a guy that they took that they believed in the first round. Here's our heads up that we're going to bring this guy because we believe that this guy can help us in our quarterback room. If you believe in Dak Prescott and have that kind of trust in him, yeah, they should have notified him that we've made this trade, but it does not affect you whatsoever. Unless you allow it to affect you, they will make a different decision when it comes to Dak Prescott. I'll ask Ian this question next. I can't wait to get his answer. Will Trey Lance ever be a starting quarterback in the NFL again? You can weigh in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Will he become a starting quarterback in the NFL ever again when it comes to Trey Lance being traded by the 49ers? And where does that decision to trade up for him rank among the biggest draft blunders? We'll get to that next. You keep it here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman. Appreciate you joining us, a little Freddie and Fitzsimmons in the morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as ESPN2. I'll throw this question to you, Ian Fitzsimmons. I can't wait to hear what everybody else has to say about it at 888-729-3776. They traded up three first-round picks to get Trey Lance, the San Francisco 49ers. Not even 3 years later, they move on from him. They trade him to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2024 fourth-round pick. He's now in that room with Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. Do you believe that Trey Lance could be a starting quarterback again in the NFL?
Well, Freddie, I didn't think Kurt Warner would ever be a starting quarterback again in the NFL when he left the New York Giants. And then next thing you know, he's taking the Arizona Cardinals to the stinking Super Bowl. So in this league, if you have talent and you put your mind to it, yeah, I mean, it can happen. And that's just one example of guys that have not panned out for their first team,
yeah,
but end up somewhere else, you know. And again, I know I've referenced Ron Wolf, the former general manager of the Packers and an NFL Hall of Famer, several times. But he had this remarkable philosophy of he would draft a quarterback like every other year, even when he had Mark Brunell, who then he shipped off to Jacksonville because he got some guy named Brett Favre for a second-round pick for the Atlanta Falcons, right? Then when he had Favre for all those years, what does he do? He still goes and drafts guys like Aaron Brooks, who they developed, showcased, and then moved him off to the New Orleans Saints for a higher round pick. He got more equity out of it. We can go on down the list. Who was a quarterback out of LSU Matt Flynn, $15 million. He gets guaranteed from the Seahawks, and Russell Wilson beats him out. But the Green Bay Packers got more equity for him. I think they drafted him in the fifth or sixth round and got like a third for him or whatever it was. So, I mean, you can't – that's the most important position in the game. And if you believe you can improve your room by bringing somebody else in, so be it. And so you look at Steve Young, and I'm not saying these guys are that trade is going to be these guys. I'm giving you examples.
Sure.
Steve Young in Tampa, horrible. Goes to the San Francisco 49ers, Canton, right? Jim Plunkett in New England, stunk. Goes to Oakland, Super Bowls, Lombardis, right? So this is not the end for Trey Lance. So do I believe he can be a starter? Yeah, absolutely. And I've just given you a few examples of guys that had to go somewhere else, you know, hit the restart button, and then find a way. Now, do I believe he's going to be a starter for the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
But they can showcase him and try and flip him like Ron Wolf used to do with Green Bay.
Yeah, I think there's a very slight chance he can be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. I don't think this experience is going to wreck his psyche or take away his confidence to get a chance to be a starting quarterback again, because somebody thought enough of him, even though it was a miss by the San Francisco 49ers, even though they overreached by trading away three first-rounders. But they saw enough of him to think, man, we're going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo because that guy's what we need, and we believe we can get to that next level again, get to that Super Bowl, and not have our quarterback overthrow or miss a throw like what happened against the Kansas City Chiefs in that Super Bowl, or they don't draft Trey Lance. Jimmy Garoppolo's a quarterback, and everybody's happy, and everybody moves on. I think he'll get that opportunity. But that leash is going to be a little bit shorter, because if the 49ers can fix him, and they fixed quarterbacks before under Kyle Shanahan, and he's done that with other teams, if the 49ers couldn't do it, he may not have as long of a runway to see if that's going to work or not, no matter what team that's going to be after the Dallas Cowboys, because you're right, unless Dak Prescott gets injured, this is showcasing him to go somewhere else, and then Dallas can get something back in return when it comes for Trey Lance.
You know, Freddie, remember when you and I, and for people who may not remember, Freddie and I did a show together for 8-9 years at night here on ESPN Radio, and we were talking to one quarterback coach who was close to Trey Lance when he was coming out in the draft a few years ago. And I can't remember the guy's name, that's me not having enough caffeine right now, and I'm not that smart a human. But anyway, he just glowed saying, man, it's not just the physical tools, but he is one of the smartest guys when it comes to reading defenses that I've ever coached, that I've ever been around. And you and I were like, whoa, wait a minute. And then he started rattling off guys that he's worked with. He's worked with guys like Deshaun Watson and other marquee names currently in the National Football League. And he was saying Trey Lance processes things as well as those guys do, having only played in a handful of college games. And that blew me away. The Niners weren't the only team that had a high first-round grade on this young man.
Absolutely.
So you bring up a great point, though. From a psyche standpoint, he's got to put everything that happened in San Fran, the injuries, everything else, behind him and hit that restart button. Not just from a physical aspect, but he's got the tools, the talents there. It's that psyche part that you brought up, and I think it's an outstanding one. Between the years, how's he going to be going forward?
Adam in Tampa at 888-729-3776. Thanks for calling us here. Ian Fitzsimmons, Freddie Coleman this morning on ESPN Radio. Adam, do you believe Trey Lance can be a starting quarterback again in the NFL, and why or why not?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Been listening for a long time. Appreciate the call.
Appreciate
you. I think that Trey Lance can be a starting quarterback. I mean, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. I have been for a very, very long time. And, you know, my actual thoughts, this was really confusing for me, but this pickup, because we don't need Trey Lance. Greer was really good, and or at least in the last preseason game. But my real thought is I think Jerry's trying to package a deal for Jonathan Taylor, and I'll hang up and listen. But, you know, it sounds like to me that they pick up Trey Lance, throw some picks in there, and Tony Pollard, and then pick up Jonathan Taylor and put the whole package together. Tell me what you think.
Nope. Thank you for the phone call. We appreciate listening, but that's not happening.
They're not flipping a young quarterback. They just drafted Anthony Richardson.
Thank you. Thank you. That's not going to happen. And you can wish for Jonathan Taylor. He's not going to the Dallas Cowboys.
I would love for that to happen. Him and Tony Pollard. I would love for that to happen.
I don't see it, Freddie.
Me neither. I would love for it to happen. Yeah.
And I'll give you the example of the last two NFL leading rushers the Dallas Cowboys had. In DeMarco Murray and Ezekiel Elliott. They ran them into the ground. DeMarco Murray had over 500 touches. And that year he was featured as the Cowboys' lead back. Led the NFL in rushing. See ya. Ends up in Philadelphia. He only had one more 1,000-yard season with the Tennessee Titans and retired at an early age.
Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott got that big contract by holding out on a beach in Cabo. Jerry stupidly paid him, but they ran him into the ground also. Now he's in New England. So you look at the history with the Cowboys, they're not going to pay now a 24-year-old back coming off an injury who led the NFL in rushing a couple years ago. They're not going to pay him what he wants in a long-term deal. So what you just mentioned is more of a fantasy football type trade than the reality type trade.
Yeah, and no one's paying running backs anymore anyway.
Ask Josh Jacobs.
Ask Saquon Barkley. Ask anybody playing that position more than ever before. Jamin in South Carolina. Jamin, do you think the Trey Lance will ever be a starting quarterback in the NFL? Why or why not?
I believe that, you know, there's a couple of things that are happening with Trey Lance. One, you're right, his head is out of the game. But if you can fix the head also while challenging the head of Dak Prescott, then you got a really good locker room in there for competition. Dallas can help him in a way that in his head. But, you know, as soon as it goes sour with Dak, now you got an option that's there, that's a headline, that he has to prove himself. So many different ways to look at it. For both sides, Dak's got to get motivated. This guy's got to get motivated as well. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I said it before and I'll say it again. This isn't sending a message to Dak. This was improving the quarterback room in their minds. And Will Greer, I mean, Will Greer is a solid backup quarterback. But this isn't about sending a message to Dak. Now, should they have given him a heads up just as a courtesy? I would have.
Right.
You would have, Freddie. But,
yes.
You know, I don't care what position it is. If you have an opportunity in your mind, if you're Will McClay, who really calls a lot of the shots now with the Dallas Cowboys, and Stephen Jones, it's not so much Jerry anymore. Jerry is the figurehead. He's the one doing the most of the talking.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen, Will, and that scouting department, just look at the roster compared to a few years ago.
Absolutely. You ain't
lying.
That's
when you know football people are now making football decisions in Dallas. They believe they made their room better, and Jerry loves it because what are we doing right now?
Talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
They win the headlines. No Super Bowls in 1996, but they win the headlines when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. You did not get through on the phone at 888-729-3776. Hit us on the X at Ian Fitz ESPN and at Coleman ESPN. A little Freddie and Fitzsimmons for you this morning, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. The biggest moment of the sports weekend happened, and it involved a bunch of 12-year-olds that had everybody's heart. We're going to talk to the guy that was a part of all that next. Keep it here on ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. Appreciate you joining us this morning. A little Freddie and Fitzsimmons for you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. 6X and Channel 8, and don't forget about us on ESPNU. He is one of our favorites. Not only knows baseball, but is great at calling baseball. And the Little League World Series has become a signature event. And Carl Ravitz is all over the great analysis and great play-by-play performances all through the 2 weeks in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. He joins us here, part of ESPN Radio and ESPNU. Carl, you said on a 1-0 pitch, Curacao had not given up a home run in the World Series until Lewis Lappe went yard over the left field wall. How much grief were you getting on social media about the announcer's jinx about that?
I don't watch social media. Was there any jinx? Was there any feedback on that? I really don't know, Freddie.
A little bit. You kid because you don't care. I get it.
Now, that was a beautiful moment. That was an easy setup to that, really mostly because of the kid that was coming up. And, boy, what a fun event. It always is. You know, everybody's into streaming and binge-watching, and we've known for 20 years now that the Little League World Series is just that. You download the Little League World Series for 2 weeks every summer, and you can watch every night, and it becomes something that people just get hooked onto. And it's really because of the kids that play it. You know, all of a sudden, for 2 weeks, slowly but surely, this Lewis Lappe character becomes a thing, you know, and now everybody that watches that and speaks to friends who have watched it and say, did you see the big kid? Was it Lewis Lappe? Like, he becomes a thing. It's his shining moment. And that's, I've known that for a long time, and it doesn't always end that way, but boy, last night was magical, and it just capped off what was an amazing 2 weeks there.
You know, Ravi, it's the Little League World Series for me every summer is the best bridge to get me to week one of college football. I mean,
exactly.
In the NFL, it is remarkable. You've called a lot of major events. What is it about this one that you and Julie Foudy and Jessica Mendoza, your entire crew, the joy you guys have calling this comes across? What is it about this event that makes it different, makes it special for you?
Yeah, I know it shows, and that really starts. I mean, you know, you guys behind the curtain all know about production crews and just how vital they are to the whole thing. I mean, the same people have been going there for two decades because they realize, you're in one place for 2 weeks, which is rare in our industry. But more important, it is a joyous event. You know, we did a lot of these pre-produced rollouts, these video vignettes. And if you just look at them, they're always featuring kids that are smiling, coaches that are smiling. Julie Foudy riding a little sled down a hill with a smile on her face. No other sport has those continuous moments of joy. There are moments, but none are as continuous as that. That's the whole value of it. And then you mix in a high level of competition for a sport that most of the people that watch, no matter the age, and the unique part about the Little League World Series is you do get 5-year-old kids and 95-year-old grandparents because they've all played or watched or coached Little League baseball or softball. It's a very unifying sport, and the kids play at a high level. They also make mistakes. They're humans, and I think a lot of us lose sight of the fact that athletes are humans because we expect so much of them and because we rooted in how much they're getting paid. None of those conversations come up. And you guys saw the Philadelphia Phillies show up, and the local team from Pennsylvania was playing, and all of a sudden, within 10 seconds, and you know this, and this is intrinsic in anybody that plays sports, it takes about 10 seconds to recognize, wow, there's a cool event going on, and I'm rooting for that team, and now I'm so invested in it, I'm going to stand here as a professional athlete and root as hard as I have for any other thing, because I'm now invested. That's the magnetism of this event. It is infectious, and it does translate really well on TV. It's a hell of a lot better to be there. But that's why we all recognize how lucky we are to do it. I knew when Brent Musburger was doing it, and I was doing the international games, and going home listening to him call the championship, like, someday I just hope I can do that.
Wow.
That's awesome.
We know how fortunate we are.
Well, great about Carl Ravitch, ESPN play-by-play voice, joining Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons this morning on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. And we also have those great moments. You just never know what those great moments are going to happen. But then when they show up, man, you can't help but not be a fan. What has it been like for you to have your fanboy hat on but still be professional, the play-by-play voice, with all that going on in front of you, Carl?
It's a great point, because I do think Little League allows you to kind of tread that fine line where objectivity is important, but I don't think at the Little League level it's necessary. I mean, look, yesterday, you know, there were kids on each team who had been to Williamsport and not gotten a hit. And in a 5-1 game, when a kid comes up, you can say, I feel comfortable saying, you know, let's go, crew. Let's get a hit here. Let's make this memorable for you. That while it's about the game, it's also about the experience for these kids. I've had, you know, my own kids go through Little League. I know what it means on a bigger picture, that it's not just about this game. This is about what happens 10 years from now. The 2011 California winning team, you know, tweeted out that they were all watching. So that's, you know, 12 years ago, and they're still together today. So you know that wow. these are events and times that will resonate for a lifetime, not just in the moment. And you want kids to have success. You want them to remember this in a positive way. And I guarantee you that our buddy Jaylen Wheel, the pitcher for Curaçao, while he gave up that home run, had so many memorable moments, including the homer. These become pictures in his scrapbook. These become memories that he will talk about joyously on the island of Curaçao, wherever he ends up, for the rest of his life. Like, you don't get those opportunities. They're so rare, and that's how you can kind of toe the line of being objective and yet recognizing this is way bigger than the game for this particular kid or this coach or this mom who's dealing with whatever they're dealing with. You know, it takes a village to go through this thing, and you realize that. And I think that's why it's different than calling a Sunday night baseball game or a college football championship, you know.
It was phenomenal and a spectacular call. And Ravi, as we turn you loose, I also marvel every single year that we never, ever, ever run into that Little League dad or that Little League mom. And we all know exactly what I'm talking about. That's as much of a marvel as anything else.
Well, I'll say this, Ian. They do a heck of a job of making sure that never happens when those teams show up there. They make it quite clear none of that stuff is going to be tolerated. But to your point, you have 20 teams from around the world. They know when they get there. Like, this is we've actually found the pot of gold. We don't need to all take it home in the form of a championship. We're all going to swim in the pot of gold for a while now.
When are you going to slide down a hill? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I've done that before. I will do that again. I mean, it's funny because everybody's watching the hill slide while we're calling the game. So
right.
I can't the headset and go slide down the hill, although I'm sure Mendoza and Frazier would be happy if I just left for a while.
Hey, Carl, man, always great stuff, my friend. Always great catching up with you, man. Take care, be well, and thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN
Radio.
All right,
Freddie, Ian. Good luck. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Hit him on the exit, Carl Ravitch, ESPN, and that call was fantastic. The excitement, the urgency. And like he said, it's okay.
The reference right before.
Absolutely. And then
haven't
the next
given up
pitch.
A home run the entire series.
Yeah, and then the next pitch. Over the fence. And just the way he described everything in the post, where they're running around the field and touching the statue and talking about the emotion that he's, I think, Lewis Lappi has tears in his eyes. He gets ready to touch the statue. And then that moment, the international champions, Chinese Taipei team, and they're taking that picture, the Chinese Taipei team in the stands, the California team in the field, but they're all looking up at the camera. If you've never been to Williamsport, and I've been blessed to have a chance to see the Little League World Series more than a couple of times, because I went to my university, Mansfield University, about an hour north of Williamsport. Believe me when I tell you, if you can find a way to be there, do it. You will not be sorry. And you may only want to stay one night in. Then the next thing you know, you want to stay another night. Then another night. Then you want to be there for a whole 2 weeks. It is fabulous. They do a great job. Make it a chance. If you get a chance, make it a chance to make sure you can go there.
All about it.
No doubt about it.
On the list, man.
Trying to get your Army Navy. I figure I'd get your Army Navy, then that's also in Philadelphia.
Your list is growing.
Yes, yes, yes. Your list is staying, but you get to go Cal football games.
Your list of getting me two places.
Exactly. That's what I'm
Army
trying
Navy,
to do.
You got Army Navy, you got Williamsport. Get just, ready. Just trying to, still
just,
coming.
Just trying to expand your palate as far as the worldly things go in this world. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman, a little Freddie Fitzsimmons in the morning. A U.S. sprinter had a great weekend, but he almost undid it by calling out the NBA. We'll tell you who that is and why he did that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is ESPN Radio.
I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. Appreciate you joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. And don't forget about us on ESPNU. Now, normally when you go to a world championship event and you participate in a world championship event and you win a bunch of golds, part of that world championship event, that should be enough for you. Apparently not when it came to Noah Lyles. For those who don't know, he's one of the fastest men on the planet. He may right now be the fastest man on the planet. After what he did this weekend, being a part of a gold medal relay team and winning a gold medal himself, he decided that as a world champion, he could take a shot at other world championships in a different league called the NBA.
World champion of what? The United States?
You know, the thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong.
Oh, we're about to.
I love the U.S. at times, but that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
Okay. I don't remember a time, Freddie, in my 51 years on this earth. There we go. Thank you, Alan Yates. That we weren't talking about the Super Bowl champions being, ready?
Wait for it. World champions.
World champions. Yeah. I mean, that's been going on since before I was a zygote. I mean, you know, the World Series, world champions. NBA, world champions. Noah Lyles, this is the hill that you're going to climb up on and perish on?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because he got annihilated by everybody, from Kevin Durant on down, NFL types weighing in. It wasn't just NBA guys clapping back at him.
No, not at all.
Because, again, the NFL, they're referred to as world champions. Why? Because the best players in the world play football play in the National Football League.
Or the NBA. Or Major League
Baseball.
Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
I'm sure somebody playing the Croatian League is probably thinking, at a certain point, I want to play in the NBA. And I know Zagreb's lovely this time of year, but at a certain point, if you're playing in Croatia, you want to make sure that you get to the best league in the world, which is not in Croatia. Just putting it out there.
That dude lost a ton of fans in one presser about as fast as Zach Wilson lost a football team last year with one word.
Ooh.
That's about that. As quickly as that evaporated. Bam. Yeah. Just like that.
And not for nothing, Noah Lyles, I love watching him because he won 3 gold medals this weekend. He won in the 100 and a 200 individual and part of the 4x100 relay team. He's got great personality, very smart, very understated. But you know what? What do we always say? Any attention is better than no attention. He knew exactly by putting that kind of thing out there. Yeah, because Noah Lyles is a lot of things. He's not dumb. He knew the minute that he put that out there what kind of reaction that was going to get. It's one thing to say, hey, we know you only pay attention to us every Olympic year. You don't pay attention to my sport during the World Championships. I just won 3 gold medals. I'm the best in the world. He's like Mandelbaum from Seinfeld. The best in the world when it comes to making crepes. He's Noah Lyles. And he wants everybody out there to recognize what he did. What's the best thing to do? You don't go after other track people. You go after one of the biggest sports in the world and the biggest players, and that's in the NBA.
Well, I guess to your point, Freddie, here we are talking about track and field.
Absolutely.
On your game week one coming off week zero in college football.
Absolutely.
Where we couldn't watch USC because the Pac-12 network stinks and it's not available anywhere. preseason's done in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
So we're, what, 10, 11 days away
days
from
away
start
from
of
the
that
NFL.
Season.
Yep,
and so but we are actually giving a few minutes to Noah Lyles and him stepping in it intentionally, according to you.
Absolutely.
To refer to world champs in the NBA or the NFL or Major League Baseball is not truly world champs. And okay, makes sense.
Normally, I'm not a cynical person, and you know me for more than a minute. I don't believe in those kind of things. But it seemed very, very apparent that he made it a point to say, world champions of what? Come on now.
Several times.
You're not dumb to put that out there to say, hey, you know, I wonder what happened. I wonder if somebody's going to talk about it. He knew exactly what he was going for. He knew exactly what to get, and that's exactly what he got. He got attention.
And he's 100% incorrect, but to your point, he did get a lot of attention. So there you go.
You know what? I don't hate on anybody trying to make themselves better and further their brand. I just don't like when you're trying to eat off somebody else's plate. I just don't like that. Nicholas Javier on Twitter on the X, excuse me, says, I get him, though, Freddie and Ian. Wouldn't denigrate championships in the least to call them NBA champs instead of acknowledging a beyond U.S. borders is a rare trait in the United States. Different sport, different standard. However, from Nicholas.
Look, the only thing that we aren't best in the world in when it comes to team competition in major sports is soccer. Other than that, we are world champions. I mean, the Super Bowl champ is the world champ. Mm-hmm. Find me a football team on the planet that could beat the Super Bowl champion. You can't.
Not in Australia? Not in Istanbul?
Unless we're going rugby and we want to play the All Blacks, right? Down in New Zealand.
You
know, that's it. That's all
want
I
no
got
part
for
of
you.
That. Yeah, you don't want no part of that.
NBA, I'll put our voice up against anybody around there. Come on.
Would Noah feel better if we call it the North American champion? Says because there's Canadian
Ryan
teams.
Reynolds would have a
just
problem.
Do it that way. There's Canadian teams there. Yeah.
But at that point, we're reducing it to wrestling. Like the North American champion, the Intercontinental champion, the Beat the Champ champion.
Mid-South.
The Mid-South champion, the Georgia heavyweight titleist, the Florida heavyweight champion. I mean, come on. The Mid-Atlantic champion.
National Wrestling Association.
Exactly.
Dusty Rhodes. Business.
Exactly. Harley Race, handsome Harley Race, Nick Bullwinkle in the AWA, Bruno Sammartino in the WWF.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, whatever. Dude, I'm never going to allow sport to be reduced to that. That was good for wrestling back when we were younger, when you had Arn Anderson and Ole Anderson, and Terry Funk got rested, so he passed away, and Dory Funk Jr. Noah Lyles, you are not reducing my NBA to the NWA.
The Fabulous Thunderbirds.
Oh, man, now we're talking. Michael PSAs and the Nasty Boys. We could do wrestling, old-time wrestling
Dusty
all day
Rhodes,
long.
Man, that's my guy right there.
Tommy Wildfire Rich.
Come on. Hacksaw Butch Reed.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? We could do old wrestling stuff all day long. Thanks to Noah Lyles saying it's not the world championship in the NBA. Brother, please. He's Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us this morning. Part of Freddie and Fitzsimmons in the morning. A Pro Football Hall of Famer is going to join us next, and he's going to let you know exactly what you should think about the Cowboys getting Trey Lance from the 49ers. Keep it here.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.